God of the universe has chosen to make you an object of his incredible love.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Joshua Halleck. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, and we are in a series titled Contrast, Be the Difference. Pastor Mark, we're in 1 John chapter 3 today, and your message is titled The Power of God's Love. And I know so many people who are religious or God-minded in some way, shape, or form, but have not truly come to grips with the power of God's love and what that does to a human life.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we all tend to take on the characteristics of our family. And this is true all throughout Scripture. Jesus says, hey, if you're my follower, you will take on a characteristic of love. I mean, that's the virtue that should dominate the Christian culture, is that we genuinely love God, but also genuinely love other people around us. And so this is really about the power of God's love. There's no greater transformative force on the face of this earth than the power of God's love. And if you're here today and listening to this radio message and you have not tapped in, understood, grasped, experienced, been overshadowed by God's love, then this message is for you, because you cannot really embrace the culture of the kingdom until you embrace the love of the King.
That was the turning point for me 17 years ago. I knew religious thoughts, I knew verses, but it was the power of the love of the Father, the love of God, that transformed my life.
Yeah. So we're praying. Father, I pray even now that someone that's struggling with understanding the love of God will listen to this message, and God, that you would have a divine spiritual breakthrough, that the Holy Spirit would speak deeply, profoundly, in a way that only you can, Holy Spirit. And I pray that someone today will have a breakthrough as we talk about the incredible, powerful love of the Father. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. 1 John chapter 3, the power of God's love.
When we come together on Sunday morning, we're not going to be studying any other book but the Bible, because we believe that the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That means that this is not just any other book, but this is the words of God given by His Holy Spirit. And I believe that when I study and preach and present the Word, that something supernatural happens. It's not just good teaching. It's not just good insights into living. It's not chicken soup for the soul type nice little piddly dinks of wisdom. This is the inspired, infallible Word of God that when it is preached in the right way, according to Scripture, empowered by the Spirit, it goes out and it's alive, it's active, so it connects with your soul and spirit, and if you allow it, it will transform your life so that you will never be the same person as you yield to it through the Word of God. But James says you need to receive the Word of God with humility so that it can change you. And so we're going verse by verse through 1 John. I believe that we can teach topically, and sometimes we'll take a topic and teach from that. But I really believe that the best way of teaching the Bible is verse by verse, one verse at a time, so that we squeeze all the juice out of that scripture and allow God to speak to our hearts. And so I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. If your John does not have a 1 in front of it, you're in the wrong John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to ask that you stand for the reading of God's Word. John says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Word of God, you may be seated. The theme of John chapter 3 is the love of God. And I believe what John is presenting to us is he's telling us when you've truly, powerfully experienced God's love, then there are four characteristics that will be evident in your life. When you experience the power of God's love, there's nothing like the power of God's love. Oh, his sovereignty is great. His omniscience is tremendous. His omnipotence, which has to do with his power, is astounding. His eternality is hard to comprehend, that God had had no beginning and will have no end, that there was never a point in time where God started because he has always been. Well, that will boggle your mind as you try to go back and think through what that means. And although these characteristics about God are compelling, there is nothing that is as life transforming as when you begin to grasp that the God of the universe, that has always been and will always be, that knows all things and has all power and is sovereign, that this incredible God of the universe has chosen to make you an object of his incredible love. That the God of the universe has not only chosen to make us a creation, but that those that have received the message of Jesus and embraced it, we are not only God's creation, but we have actually been called and come into the place of being God's children. I've been in ministry for many years now. I've seen people struggle with a lot of things in life. I've seen people come from really dysfunctional, broken, dark backgrounds. Some of the stories that I've heard of how people were raised and what happened in their household and what's been happened to them would just make your skin crawl. And I thought to myself sometimes, God, how is this person ever, oh God, how will they ever be normal? How will they ever be able to have a normal relationship and understand your love? How will you ever take them through a process of healing so that they can relate to other people and not have this distorted, broken image of who they are? How will they ever be able to experience you? And I have seen something incredible happen throughout the years. Something that I cannot explain. Something that defies description. I've seen people experience the love of God. Begin to understand and let the love of God seep into their soul. And I've seen how the love of God has changed their identity, healed their soul, taken out a lot of that darkness. And now when they've been walking in the love of God for some time, 5 or 6 or 7 years, you would look at that person and you would never know they were who they were before. You would never know the darkness that they've come out of because they have been washed and cleansed and renewed and empowered by this incredible thing called the love of God. So when John talks about the love of God, he's not talking about some theory. He's not talking about some classroom love of God. He doesn't sit down and say, well, the love of God. There are four words for love in the Greek. agape, philia, eros. No. He doesn't go about it that way. When he thinks about the love of God, it's like an exclamation point. He says, wow, it's the equivalent of what we would say, amazing, awesome, wow. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us. In the King James it says, behold, how great a love God has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. There's an excitement there, an enthusiasm. He's talking about the love of God as something that he has personally experienced in his own soul. And so, as he talks about the love of God, there's several things I want you to understand that this love does to you. In this passage, we're going to see it. There are signs that you are living in the love of God, and if you're not living in the love of God, how many of you know that God could love you, but you cannot experience? But sometimes you don't walk in the experience of his love.
Right.
How many of you know that? You see, sometimes the love of God is being poured upon us, but we're not receiving that love. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It means that you're not accepting or receiving that incredible love that God has for you. And so, when you are walking in that love, and when you are receiving that love, when you are experiencing that love, you're going to see some evidence of it in your life. And John talks about four characteristics that can be seen in people that are walking in the love of God and experienced it. And the first characteristic is that when you're walking in God's love, you will be growing and changing to be more like Jesus. And notice what he says, verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Now, once in a while, someone will say, well, we are all children of God. But that's not quite true. Technically, we are all God's creation, but we are not all God's children. Because the Bible's clear about that. God has created us, but not everybody has been born of God. You are only born of God when you are born again of God, and then you are adopted as his child. And Scripture's full of this, talks about this all the time. John is overwhelmed by the thought of God loving us so much that he would actually call us his children. And not only does he call us his children, but look what he says, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. He's not just calling us children, he's actually made us his children. The Father, I see it in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Referring to the Son, Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, it says, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:16 of the Spirit says, the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk Radio message called The Power of God's Love, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Contrast, Be the Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 John chapter 3. His message, The Power of God's Love.
So the Father calls us children, the Son calls us brothers, the Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And John goes on to say, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The reason that the world does not recognize you as a child of God, or does not recognize, is that they did not recognize Jesus as the Son of God either. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." There are certain things that only a spiritual mind can understand, and a mind that's in the flesh cannot understand. How many of you know that? Some of you say about a neighbor or friend or a husband or cousin or relative, "I just don't know why they don't get it. I'm trying to tell them about Jesus and explain it. Why don't they get it?" Well, let me tell you, it's not that intellectually they don't get it. It's that certain spiritual truths cannot be understood merely in the flesh. They are spiritually discerned. So therefore, your spirit has to be awakened by the Holy Spirit in order to understand spiritual truth. You can be extremely intelligent and have a very high IQ and be extremely spiritually dumb. Not because your IQ isn't high, but because your spirit is dead, and so therefore, because your spirit is dead, you're not perceptive to the spiritual world. I have seen some very illiterate, uneducated people that are extremely knowledgeable in spiritual things because their spirit is alive. And I've seen some very educated, intelligent, well-distinguished people that are very obtuse spiritually and do not understand because they are not spiritually alive. And so John tells them, hey, the world doesn't recognize you because because it's spiritual. John 15 verse 18 says, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that they hated me first. If you belong to the world, the world would love its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world." So what John is saying is that you are children of God. And when you understand that you're a child of God, you may be jumping for joy. "I'm a child of God. Whoa, God lives inside of me. Man, the love of God has filled me. Whoa, it's incredible that I'm a child of God." And you walk out of this place, walk into your car and say, I'm a child of the Most High God. You drive through Portillo's, pick up and order a beef with extra gravy on it. The person comes away to you, "Hi, sir, what would you like?" And you say, "You know, I want a good beef today. I'm so happy, I'm a child of God." And they look at you like, okay, this nutcase here. They don't understand it. You may feel like, hey, the world will not understand the excitement and the power of you being a child of God. They don't understand the fact that God is inside of you, that you've been washed by His incredible love. They don't understand that the world could be falling apart, but you feel content inside because you have this incredible love of God inside of you. It feels foolishness to them. They cannot understand it because they have not experienced it yet. And John says, "Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known." What John says is that you currently are a child of God. It's not a future thing. You are a child of God now. How did you become a child of God? Well, when you were born as a child, as a baby, that little naked baby that came out, you were a creation of God. In John chapter 3, it talks about the second birth. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, a very intelligent, astute, spiritual man. And he said to Nicodemus, "Unless a man is born," what? "Again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Nicodemus, although he was very intelligent spiritually, did not understand the spiritual picture that Jesus was painting. And he, in his mind, he said, "How can I, being old, get back into my mother's womb?" And Jesus was saying, "No, you missed the point completely. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit." There was a point in time where you were born in the flesh and became a you were that child, that baby that was born. But you also had a nature inside of you that was given to you through the seed of Adam. Every child that's born from the beginning of creation through Adam has been given a nature, a fallen nature, a sinful nature. It's passed down through the seed of man. So every child since Adam has inherited a sinful nature. It doesn't mean that that sinful nature, every baby that's born, no matter how cute it is still has a sinful nature. You say, Pastor, you can't tell me this little baby has a sinful nature. Yeah, it looks cute, but it has one. Now, it doesn't mean it's sinned, because a baby doesn't have the capacity to sin. But it does mean that it has the predisposition, when it's old enough, it will sin. Because it has a sin nature. That is why Jesus, by the way, I've talked to you about this before, but that's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. He was born of the Virgin Mary because there was no seed of man implanted in Mary to give Jesus a sin nature. Jesus was born of a virgin because he could not have the sin nature planted in him. So God bypassed the natural reproductive process and made Mary impregnated without the help of man, so that when Jesus was born, he was the first man since Adam to not be born with a sin nature. But all of us, sons of Adam, we have a sin nature. Now, the only way that we are able to be given a divine nature or God nature is that we have to be born of God or born again. And so what John tells us here is that when we receive that new nature, then we are children of God. We receive it through faith, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but we receive it through faith and we receive the divine nature. Second Peter talks about the divine nature that's planted in us. And that divine nature is the nature of God. And so as you start growing now, the sin nature causes you to become sinful. The divine nature causes you to become God-like. Are you tracking with me? So the divine nature inside of you, the divine seed of God inside of you, causes you to grow up to be like Daddy, your father. The sin nature inside of you causes you to grow up in a sinful way. You have a predisposition, an inclination to go your own way. The moment that you are born again, there is something inside of you that makes you want to be like Jesus. There's a nature inside of you that is forming you, pushing you, convicting you, guiding you, leading you to become more and more transformed into the image of Jesus. Now, you may look at your life right now and say, I'm nothing like Jesus. I am so far from who Jesus is. But it's not just about where you're at. It's about what the nature inside of you is pulling you to. You may be far from Jesus now, but hopefully you're growing from glory to 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 glory, becoming more like Jesus. And what John says is, you're a child of God now. Have you ever seen a baby and someone says, well, who does it look like? And you say, I don't know, it just looks like a little bald baby. It's hard to tell. But when babies get older, oh, it happened to me. When I was young, when I was 15, I would look at my dad. People would say, you kind of look like your dad. I'm like, no way, I don't look like that. No way. The older I get, wow. I see pictures now. Whoa, hold on a second. People that haven't seen me in a long time and they knew my dad, they see me now and they're like, whoa, I see your dad all over you. See, when you're young, you can't tell. But the older you get, how about it? Am I the only one that's going through that, or is other people in here going through that? All right. The older you get, the more you tend to look, because the more you develop and the more you look like your parents. This is the way it is in our walk with Jesus.
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called The Power of God's Love, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Contrast, Be the Difference. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.